the next time you send a broadcast email out, I want you to not use as many pictures, just use some text. Talk to them in the first person, talk to them directly, talk to them like you're talking to one person, not a bunch of people, one person. And in that email, I want you to ask a question. Whether it's like, hey, what is the issue that you're having today? Or what is the hurdle that will get you to the next step? Or even for me, I ask a question for people who just come on the list that are never been to a powwow. I'm like, hey, what part of the powwow intrigues you the most? What is it that you want to, what is it you're most excited about? Is it the dancing, the singing, the food? What is it?
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, I get to speak with Paul Goder. Paul is the visionary behind powwows.com to explore the journey of building and maintaining a highly engaged online community. From humble beginnings to becoming a cornerstone for Native American culture enthusiasts, Paul shares the pivotal moments and strategies that fueled the growth of powwows.com over the past 25 years. Discover the power of community building, effective email marketing, and meaningful engagement as Paul unpacks the secrets behind powwows.com's success. Join us for a fascinating conversation on celebrating and preserving Native American arts and culture in the digital age. Paul, thank you so much for jumping on and being a guest here.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to talking with you.
Paul, tell me a little bit about how or what inspired you to launch powwows.com and like how has the journey been so far and what it enabled you to do with your business?
Yeah, so I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm from South Carolina and went to college at the University of South Carolina way back a long time ago. And when I was in graduate school, this was about 1995, 1996, I had always been a computer guy. I loved playing with computers. And that was just when the whole internet thing was coming out. And so I started experimenting and trying to teach myself this whole HTML thing. Yeah. And so I built two websites, just playing, not as a business, just as a way to share some things that I enjoyed and knew about. And one was about Native American powwows and the other was about vintage Star Wars toys. Now, this was back in the 90s. So Disney hadn't purchased Star Wars yet. They hadn't made the new movies. All we had was the original trilogy and it had been more than a decade since a new movie had come out. So that page didn't really go anywhere.
Sure.
It's actually still out there and it's in that state as it was back when I first did it. But the other site, it started to grow immediately and it was other powwow folks finding it and people that were involved with powwows. They enjoyed that community aspect feel of being at powwows and they wanted to extend that online. And we all started meeting each other from different parts of the country. And from there, it was really, that's how we started. That's where the community started to grow. And that's really been the heart of powwows.com ever since, is just the community and ways for people to engage with each other, explore their culture, or if you're outside the culture and you want to learn more about it, or maybe experience your first powwow, that's what we're all about.
Man, that's so powerful. Powwows is, I've heard of powwows. I didn't really know the meaning of it, but it makes a lot of sense based on what you shared. What were some of the key milestones in the growth of powwow.com? It's 25 years is a very long time. It's almost like a kid that's finished college and ready to get married.
Yeah. We've had a few kind of big events that have happened. First thing that really just energized our growth was figuring out that people did want a community. And we added, and this is back before social media, we added forums. And that was originally, that was how we interacted with each other. And forums, we used that for a long time as really our main part of the website. That went on for a long time. The other big thing that we did, and this was, again, probably in the first 5 years or so, we added a powwow calendar. So we became the place for powwows to promote themselves. Powwow still, if you go to a powwow and you want to find out about the next one, people are still handing out paper flyers. And we were the first and still the only, you know, comprehensive nation or Canada and United States calendar that lists all the powwows that we can find. Wow. So that was a big one. And then in January, we're going to we'll be celebrating a big milestone. In 2004, we streamed our first Powwow Live. So coming up, this will be 20 years of streaming Powwows Live. And so we've been able to travel all over the country. I now have a team that helps me out with that. And last year we streamed 25 powwows across North America. And we had a total, this is pretty exciting. We had a total social media reach of about 22 million people on those live streams.
That is some amazing numbers. And I don't think anybody's that's been doing live streaming can reach those numbers. And that shows the power of the community, because you're so focused on not just the community aspect, but also enriching each other's lives with people from the same background,
right?
Essentially.
Then that's what we cater to two audiences. And one, that's the powwow people, whether you're living on the reservation or maybe, you know, living somewhere else. And we want to help you with our live streams. We want to help you make sure that you stay connected with your culture. Mm. Or if you're looking for, if you're a powwow dancer, a lot of people travel to these powwows throughout the summer and the whole year, really. So we're the place where you can go and find your next powwow, make sure where you need to go, that kind of thing. Mm. And then for the people that are not native, we want to be the place for you to come and be that jumping off point. We can help you, point you to some resources, help you understand the culture, explore a little bit deeper, find powwows to attend, maybe find some other cultural destinations to attend, to go to when you're traveling. So we're serving two big audiences there. And really, it's all about making them feel connected to Native culture, however you come into that.
Yeah. Talk to me about what are some of the strategies that you found that has been most effective in building and maintaining this highly engaged online community.
One of the things I love to talk to people about that want to build community and want to grow their business, community for us is not a Facebook group. It's not our forums. Community is everybody who comes in contact with powwows.com, however you contact us. You are all part of our community. And once you realize that and you treat everybody as being part of your community, then you can start to have really meaningful engagement. And what and the next step of that is email. Email is so important and so fundamental to everything we do. And it used to be the forums were the heart of our community. Really now it's email. And that's you, if you treat your email list as part of your community and you talk to them and you engage with them like you were in a Facebook group or a Facebook Live, then it becomes a very meaningful way to talk with your audience and build that relationship. You don't want to be just another brand shouting information to your email list. You really got to treat them as part of your community and just as a friend, a colleague, whatever, not just spewing information at them.
Dude, that's so powerful, because I have a email list, but like my community of guests that have been on my podcast, and I'm always wondering, hey, how can I involve them in my life? How can I bring them closer to what I'm working on, and how do I be in their lives as well? What are some of those things? What are some of those challenges that you face, and how are you able to manage them with such a large community?
Yeah, it is a challenge having the big community, just the day-to-day maintenance of it. I'm fortunate now to have some people that help me managing comments and things like that. It can be really overwhelming, but it's, again, like when I write emails now, I try to be direct, to be personal. It's me writing to them, not just the brand. I sign all my emails, Paul G, make sure that I'm trying to just be myself and talk to people. And we do a weekly Facebook Live and YouTube Live, same kind of thing. I want to be talking with them, engaging with them. And that matters. And building that trust, building those relationships really do matter. And I think it is a challenge with such a big community to have those one-on-one relationships, but it's the constantly showing up and being authentic, being yourself and talking with them. It does matter. You may not, I don't know everybody's name, unfortunately, but like on a Facebook Live though, I know the regulars and I know the people who show up every week. So I can recognize them when I see their name come in. And in email, if I send I'm really big into making sure you build a lot of email sequences. So there are some sequences that people write me back, and that gives me a chance to get to know them and have that one-on-one relationship and kind of have a conversation. So that's the other thing I'll tell people, is you're building your email list And it is so important to respond to those emails, right? If somebody takes the time to reply, hey, you just formed a relationship, make sure you hit that reply and reach back out. Even if it's just to say, hey, thanks, I really appreciate, somebody just sends you a compliment or says, hey, this email was really good, thanks. You know, just write back and say, you're welcome, I appreciate you writing us. You know, it's letting people know that there's a person that's doing this and not a big Apple or whatever.
Right, it's not a big organization, but it's a person.
They can feel so cold. And so I think it is important to make sure that you're being personable.
That's a really interesting aspect because people love receiving gifts, right? They love receiving. As soon as you have this Amazon package on the front door, you're going to run out and open it up. So yep. I think email is the same way because you're getting a gift in your email inbox. And if it's personalized and if it's something that creates that connection, I think people are going to have that deeper connection with you, community as well. Talk to me about how powwow.com has contributed to the celebration and preservation of the Native American arts and culture.
Just doing our live streams has been a really big thing that I love getting the feedback from people. I got an email, I think it was maybe a couple weeks ago, where somebody said, hey, I'm getting up in age, I'm not able to travel as much. And watching powwows makes me still feel connected, even when I can't make it to an event. So that kind of stuff, I love seeing that feedback. That's so awesome. Yeah. Another thing we did, especially during the pandemic, there's so many artists out there. I'll back up for a second. There's so many artists out there that depend on going to powwows and setting up a table or a booth and selling. Mm-hmm. And when during the pandemic, there were no powwows, and we realized there was a lot of people that had no way to sell their stuff. So we created a directory called Shop Native. And we're continuing to try to build that out and add more and more artists and vendors and craftspeople. And so we want to make a directory of all these businesses out there that are selling, whether it's beadwork or stickers or a shirt, whatever it is, we want to make sure that we highlight them. So that's been a really big thing that we've been doing the last couple of years. We just started a new kind of initiative a few months ago in 2024. We're going to focus on it a lot. And that is, and I alluded to it earlier, we want to make sure that when you are traveling, whether you're going to Walt Disney World or you're going to a powwow, along the way, there's probably some kind of Native cultural thing you can go visit, whether it's a museum or a historical landmark or something. And we want to start making more resources to help people find these things. And there's a lot of restaurants out there now that are Native owned and run. So we really want to highlight this. And so that when you do get in the car to make that road trip or flying somewhere with your family, think about it and let's see if we can experience just a little bit of Native culture in all of our trips.
Man, that's really powerful. And I think I've seen a lot of that when I used to go road tripping is you'll find so many Native culture, Native American arts and culture along the way. And it really inspires you to say, hey, there's a whole generation, there's a whole another culture that's been here for centuries.
Yeah, you'll be surprised that when you do start digging in deep, like here's one we didn't expect to find Native culture. We took my wife and I took my daughter out to San Francisco to go to the Taylor Swift concert back in July. Mm-hmm. Did the Taylor Swift thing. And so, but while we were out there, we're like, hey, let's see some of the sites. And we went to Alcatraz. I knew a little bit about the history of Alcatraz and knew that there was a Native occupation after the prison had closed. And it was really cool. We happened to be there at a time where they had a whole exhibit about the occupation and the history and what happened, lots of photos and artifacts from all that time. I didn't expect to have that kind of an actual exhibit there about some Native culture that took place on Alcatraz. So you never know what you're going to find. You just have to dig a little bit. That was a really cool surprise for us.
Man, I love that so much because it not only is it bringing the awareness of what's around us, but just a little bit digging deeper can get you so much farther than you would have imagined.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Now, what's really beautiful is that how you managed to build powwows.com while working full time. How were you able to balance these responsibilities and what advice would you give to others in similar situations?
Yeah. So when I never intended this to be a business. It really became a business out of necessity to pay the bills as things started building. So in the meantime, I worked for the state of South Carolina, and last I think I was there 18 years. I worked for the Attorney General of South Carolina in information technology. Mm-hmm. And I'm very fortunate to be in an agency that was flexible and allowed me to use leave and do that, those kind of things and help me balance and build the business on the side. But some of the things that I found that really helped me is one, there is a balance. So when you're running a business and working a full-time job, you are going to have to work some nights and weekends, but you do need to put some guardrails in place so that you do have, that you're not always on, so that when you are with your family, that you have family time and you have business time. So you have to, and that was a balance. And sometimes I got it right, sometimes I didn't.
Yeah.
So that was one thing I had to look out for. Another thing that I did that really helped me, especially in the last few years that I was working there, is in our state government, we had lots of state holidays. And I would use those state holidays as business work days, right? And I would actually go to a co-working space, you know, not go home, go to a co-working space and use it as a dedicated day. Mm-hmm. And especially when my daughter was in high school, they didn't get all the same holidays that we did. Okay, this is a day where I can use it and really dedicate when here are the projects I'm going to accomplish in this day. So that helped a lot, but it's also that you got to make sure that you communicate with the family, make sure that you're all on board with this.
Yeah.
When my wife and I got married in 96, because it was about the same time that Powells.com really started forming.
Yeah.
So we've done this together the whole time. And when it did start becoming more of a, hey, this might be something, this might be a business, we're going to have to put more time into this. And it was, and I'll tell people this too, if you're going to build something like this, you need to answer your why. Why are you doing this? And for us, of course, it was the first thing was, hey, we're doing this because we know we're helping connect people. And this is really amazing to help connect people. But then what does it do for us? And so for us as a family, we wanted to work these extra hours because we wanted to have experiences as a family. And we wanted to make a lifestyle where we could travel, we could do some family things together, whether it's going to Walt Disney World, which we did a lot, or going to the beach or San Francisco, whatever. We took any kind of the whatever when we would pay ourselves, which sometimes in the beginning it wasn't much, but that we were all doing that to make sure that we had experiences, not just buying gifts or whatever. We wanted to be able to go and do things as a family. So that was our priority, and that's how we focused on things and the why. So those are things that you need to establish, especially if you are working a full-time job. And yeah, I've talked to a friend late just a month or so ago, and I felt this a lot too. I want to say this to people who are working full time and building a business. Don't let people put down your efforts as a business. Amen. It is still a legitimate business, even if you aren't full time. It is still a worthy undertaking. And she was telling me she got a lot of feedback that, hey, if this is really a business, then you should quit your job and do it. That's not always feasible, and it's not always the path you want to go. So still treat it as a business to make sure that you set yourself up that this is something legitimate. This is, and don't let other people put that down or put that doubt in your head.
But that's so powerful because having being able to do something on your own or on for yourself, for a business, it's almost like maintaining a hobby because people will never pick on if you started a hobby of golfing or they're not pick on, oh, that's your hobby. But whenever you're starting a business, oh, you should do that. Oh, like, dude, why would you even introduce? It's really interesting how people don't understand to say, oh, that's really cool and be supportive in whatever it is that we're trying to do. Because again, every single person has a different way of using their time and what inspires them is really interesting and important because that's something that we value so much and it enables us to live our version of the lifestyle that we want.
Yeah.
All right, man. This has been so much fun. I learned so much from you. I've got some more questions on this aspect of how did you manage the scaling of the business to support that lifestyle? Give me some examples of how you manage the scaling aspect, because even though you've been running this for 25 years, I'm sure in the beginning, there was not as much people involved, but you did say it was people team, jumped in right away. How did you come to bring that team together?
Yeah. So in the beginning, it was just working it all the time on it. And it was hard, and it's still hard sometimes to let go of things, especially stuff that you do well. But a friend of mine told me this many years ago, a business mentor, is what are the things, what are the key things that you do best? What is it that you add value to the company or to your business? And all those other things that you're doing on a daily basis, which one of those can you hand off, right? You also have to think about which one of those things can somebody else do better and faster. And so I have, in recent years, I've hired some virtual assistants to help me with that. But in the beginning, and it was leaning into the community, right? Finding help within the community and live streaming. When working a full-time job, I was only able to travel to so many powwows a year. And so we were really hindered by how many we could attend because one, I live in South Carolina. Most of the powwows are not around here. They're way out for me, and having the full-time job, I only had so many leave days. It's at one point they were there for a few years. They very generous and would let me take leave without pay. So when I didn't have vacation time, they would just let me not be paid, but have time off. But it was when our live streaming really exploded is when I was able to find some people in the community, and I have two people now do this a lot with me. And they were able to take the live streaming and really accelerate it and make it so much bigger than I could have alone. And so that's why we're able to stream 25 powwows is having those people inside the community that have stepped up. And the guy, Michael Gabbard, he's the main one that helps me with this. And he's done, in the last couple of years, he's done more powwows than I have by three times as much. Oh. Yeah. And so he's now, I've given that to him. He's running that on his own. He sets all these up and he's the one traveling. And yeah, it's pretty exciting that when you have somebody on your team that can take ownership of something and really make it their own, it's awesome.
No, you got that right. And when you have a community, it's easy to find the people who have the same why, right?
Yeah.
It's not like you're going and finding somebody else who has no idea of what the community does. And sometimes you need to bring those experts to understand some of the things. But I think when you bring people from within the community is when it's really runs into like a well-oiled machine, because they understand everything that's required and they're able to bring their expertise into it as well. Man, this has been so much fun. Let's take a quick break. And when we get back from the break, you have three hacks that you're going to share with the audience on how they can make an engaging community for their own passion and their own thing that they're looking to run.
Are you ready to amplify your business? SPI Pro is your gateway to elevate your entrepreneurial journey, offering cutting-edge education, immersive training, and interactive collaborations. Whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned pro, SPI Pro is the community for you, providing you access to professional networking and advice to accelerate your growth. To join, head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/SPI Pro. Join SPI Pro and transform your unique journey into a success story. Again, head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/SPI Pro. Hey guys, welcome back. We've been talking with Paul Gouter here on the podcast and talking about an engaging community. And now Paul has been running a very powerful, very amazing community for the past 25 years. You can go visit and learn all about it over at powwows.com. And I'm learning so much, and it's all about making those connections, building that relationship with the people that are in there, and just being yourself. But Paul's got three hacks that we can implement in engaging our own communities in a better way.
Yeah.
Take it away, brother.
So like I said earlier, I really love email. So I want to tell you three things I want you to try with your email, and let's see where it goes. First thing, the next time you send a broadcast email out, I want you to not use as many pictures, just use some text. Talk to them in the first person, talk to them directly, talk to them like you're talking to one person, not a bunch of people, one person. And in that email, I want you to ask a question. Whether it's like, hey, what is the issue that you're having today? Or what is the hurdle that will get you to the next step? Or even for me, I ask a question for people who just come on the list that are never been to a powwow. I'm like, hey, what part of the powwow intrigues you the most? What is it that you want to, what is it you're most excited about? Is it the dancing, the singing, the food? What is it? All right. So that's the first thing. From there, I want you to take those answers. One, reply to them, of course. But two, you take those answers and you take the feedback you're getting and figure out how you're going to segment your audience. And that's the other big hack for email. Once you can figure out how to segment your audience and build sequences for each of those segments and deliver the content they want, engagement will go through the roof. So for me, I have a whole segment of my email that are people who have never been to a powwow and they're looking to go to their first one. I deliver them a series of emails that helps them understand all of that. That is so powerful. And that's the next thing is once you figure out those segments, build some email automation to deliver that content and go back to my first thing I said was in those sequences, talk directly to them, ask questions, ask for feedback, use those answers again to build more email content. If the question you're getting over and over again, like I did, is like, how do I find powwows in my state? I get that question all the time. So I make sure that there is an email in that sequence that tells you how to find powwows near you. So those are the things, right? Ask a question, use that to segment your audiences, and then build a sequence based on those segments. Your engagement and email is going to go through the roof.
Man, that's a really powerful one. I cannot wait to try that on my own because I have that struggle, like many people, and making that connection through email because, yes, it's so much easier when I write an email to one person and I know that I'm going to expect a reply. But when I'm sending a broadcast, it's like, how do I address a massive body of people? Just talk to one person. I love that.
Just talk it. Yeah. Just talk to them.
Dude, that's so powerful. All right, man. Let's jump into the sixth question that I love to ask my guests.
All right.
Rapid fire. Number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
Oh, that I wish I got into that I haven't. Honestly, I played music in college and in high school. I've always wanted to play a stringed instrument and I never tried that.
It is a hard beast to tame for sure, yeah. My friend. I've got a guitar sitting back there that I hardly take out. And then when I do take out, I'm like, oh my God, okay, how do I do this again? It's hard, but yes, we do need to put time on it. Just like we put time in other things and get better at it. I think that's one thing that's going to help. All right, next up, what did you want to be when you were a child?
When I was little, I don't remember what I wanted to grow up, but what I wanted to be when I grew up. Now in high school, I thought I wanted to be a lawyer. And it wasn't until I went to college and started taking some classes in government and those kind of things that I figured out it wasn't law that I wanted to do. It was being in government and helping policy and affect change and make things work for communities. That was what I wanted to do. So I shifted gears in college and went the public administration route.
Man, that's so powerful. And having that clarity at any point in our lives helps us to pave our path and our journey.
Yeah.
In a much more pleasant way. All right, next up, what is your favorite movie or TV show?
So Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back is probably the one I think is the best out of the bunch, but A New Hope is always going to be my favorite just because that's where it all started. So, and I still remember watching it for the first time in 1977. I went and saw it the first year when it was out. I went to a drive-in theater, laid on top of a friend's station wagon, or his family station wagon. We laid on top of the, with sleeping bags and watched it up on top of the roof of the station wagon. So yeah, Star Wars A New Hope will always be it for me.
Man, that's so powerful. And I love where they've taken the story thus far. They keep adding new characters. They keep adding new storylines. If you look at the story of Ahsoka and how they brought her into the reality, we saw her as a teenager in the Clone Wars, and then we saw her grow up, and now she has a whole full-on show where she's much older, and you see her entire life, and you're like, wow, that's an inspiration one.
Yeah, yeah. So the stories that they're telling now, Kenobi, I love that. Yeah, some of these things are so good. Yeah.
It's amazing. All right, next up, what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
I have to go Star Wars, but probably too, I'm a Harry Potter person. So probably some of the Harry Potters I think would be fun, but I don't think there's anything better than being able to have a lightsaber duel.
Amen. Lightsaber duel. Count me in. We've all seen Conan O'Brien, and Conan was telling us that he got to be one of the stormtroopers, and you can actually hear a conversation between him and his co-host whose name I cannot remember right now. But that was a fun little tidbit that we got to see. Next up, who is your favorite superhero?
Oh, now see, that's tough. I mean, I love the Avengers movies. Probably Spider-Man is out of the superheroes. Yeah, it's probably Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man is something else altogether. We've seen at least 3 different versions of Spider-Man, and now we have the 4th version with Miles Morales in the Spider-Verse. Just a few days ago, we had a birthday party for my son, and he's, I want to do a movie night. So we had Into the Spider-Verse playing and all the kids watching awesome. It, and it's just so much fun getting to see that movie experience again. Last but not least, if you were a board game, what would it be?
Ooh. Board games. See, that's a tough one. I wish I played more board games. I really enjoy them. Probably I'm the guy that when we take trips, I'm the one who's like always bringing out the little details or telling the family, hey, did you know this or did you know that? So probably Trivial Pursuit.
Man, I love that. That's one of those games that inspired a whole generation, I think, because understanding the facts of life or facts of the world, I think that's really powerful. And in fact, the story that I like to tell is the Guinness Book of World Records and how they came up with it. And I don't know if you've heard about it, but Guinness was a beer brand that was actually almost filing bankruptcy. One of the employees or person was hanging out at the bar, and all the people were talking about was trivia and stuff about stuff. Yes. So they ended up creating the Guinness Book of World Record to sell more beer.
That's awesome.
I think they did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
All right, man. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for sharing. I know people can head on over to powwows.com to learn more about the community there and learn more about the Native American culture and everything that has to do with having more engaging powwows and even follow the live streams. Do you also publish them on the website?
We do. Yes, they're on the website and Facebook, YouTube.
I love it, man. Thank you so much. Is there any specific place that you would want people to visit? Please, let's hear it.
Yeah, I'd love to. If you're looking to grow that engaged community or level up your email marketing, let me know. I'd love to help. You can find more about what I do there over at paulgowder.com.
paulgowder.com is the next one link. We'll make sure to drop both links in the show notes for the audience to get to them quickly. Thank you so much, Paul, for sharing your wisdom, your insights, your enthusiasm, and the power of building an engaging community. Thanks again so much, and I'll catch you in the next episode.
Thanks. Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.